Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon text for today comes from the book of Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. In the days of his flesh he offered prayers and pleas with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was the Son, he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. After he was brought to his goal, he became the source of eternal salvation for everyone who obeys him. This is our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it seems like the goal of every child is to make their parents proud. Whether it be scoring the final goal in the soccer game, hitting an over-the-fence home run, or getting the lead role in the school play, these things can give you a sense of accomplishment as a kid, and you kind of hope that they make your parents proud whenever you do these things, especially if it's something that you worked very hard to do. As a kid, I was never very good at math, so I remember really trying my hardest to strive to do the best that I can in my math homework. I still remember the days where I would pore over my homework with my dad, determined to understand these algebra concepts that really made no sense in my own mind. I strived to get better at algebra, and even though it was extremely difficult, I was determined to get a good grade on the test. I remember certain times where I'd come home with a math test that was like a B+, and I would get so excited because it was really good for me. I was proud of myself, and my parents were also proud that I did my best. My parents were proud at this honestly pretty mediocre test, but it made me feel good that I made my parents proud, even if the grade wasn't perfect. In our text for today, we see determination from a source that we typically wouldn't think of when we hear the word determination. We see determination from God himself. When we think of the word determination, we typically think that determination takes a lot of trial and error. But we also know that God makes no errors. This is why it's kind of weird to think of that word connected with God. But the definition for the word determination simply means firmness of purpose. We see that God the Father was determined to save his people. He had a purpose for his son Jesus, and Jesus was determined to do his Father's will and obey his Father. And we are determined to praise our Lord God in heaven and follow our Lord Jesus and obey him. God made this world perfect at the very beginning. However, we know that perfection did not last for very long. Adam and Eve, the very first people whom our Lord God created himself, threw away perfection when they had given in to the temptation of the devil. They had what was once the perfect image of God, and they threw it all away. They had that perfect image of God, but they also had free will. What was once perfect was now ruined. And when perfect is no longer perfect, there's no going back. Sin gives birth to sin, and sinful human beings cannot go back to perfection once they have ruined it all. Adam and Eve could not look at the Lord anymore. They could not be in front of his holiness. They couldn't be in front of his perfection because they were no longer perfect. They could no longer stand in front of the faultless Lord. They had brought sin and death into the world, and they were destined for hell. God had options. God could have thrown away his whole creation. He could have started all over again from scratch and made a perfect creation this time that had no choice but to follow him. A choice that would have meant that nobody had free will and nobody had a choice except to follow him and worship him. But what kind of a relationship is that? The loving Lord would not have a one-sided relationship with mindless beings that had no choice but to worship him. So God had a perfect plan of salvation. He had a perfect plan to redeem his people. In our Old Testament lesson for today from Isaiah, God comforts his people Israel with that message of salvation. He states, "But now this is what the Lord says, the Lord who created you, O Jacob, the Lord who formed you, O Israel. Do not be afraid, because I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." The Father was determined to make his people holy and perfect. He would not simply throw them to the wayside. He would not get rid of them because he loved them. His people were his chosen creation, created to love him and serve him. So God made a perfect plan to make them holy again. And whenever they could not do that on their own, God sent his own son, Jesus, to do it for them. He would be the perfect sacrifice for all these people. Even during that time of Isaiah, before the Christ was even born, God says that his promise was as good as done. God says that he has redeemed his people, and they are his own. In our text for today, Jesus highlights his own determination of becoming true man as the substitute for all of humanity. The writer of the Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews, also says that Jesus learned obedience from this. Isn't that pretty strange to think of God himself learning something? The all-knowing God, Jesus himself, learned obedience. God had become true man. God had never experienced being true man until he sent his own son, Jesus, to live a life on this earth. The Father sent his son into the world to be true man, to live the perfect life that other humans could not. And Jesus knew that he had to live a perfect life and die a perfect death to be that substitute for the rest of humanity. The Father sent him for a purpose, and Jesus prayed that the Father's will and purpose be done. Jesus was determined to do the Father's will. Jesus obeyed his Father in heaven in every way possible. Christ was tempted by Satan, but he never gave in to temptation. Christ lived in a world with sinful human beings, a world full of sin itself, yet he never sinned. He fulfilled every Old Testament prophecy that was ever written about him. He actively did everything that God's law required, while also passively taking on everything that we deserved. Jesus took on the pain, the mockery, all of these things that we deserved ourselves. The blame, the mockery, the pain, everything that he did not deserve. Jesus did not deserve any of this. He was perfect. He did no wrong. But he took on these things for our sake, because we deserved it. Our Lord loved us so much that he took on all of these things so we would not have to. Our Lord Jesus was determined to take on these things, to pay for the sin of the entire world while he was living here in this world. The writer to the Hebrews says that Jesus fervently offered prayers to the Father with loud cries and tears while he was living here on earth. This is reminiscent of Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, pleading that God take away this suffering that he was about to endure on the cross. Shortly before this happened, we see in our gospel lesson for today, Jesus himself says, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, this is the reason why I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." The Son was determined to obey his Father and bring glory to the Father's name. Our last verse from Hebrews for today says that after Jesus' goal was finished, after he fulfilled everything that needed to be done, he became the source of eternal life for all who obey him. Christ's goal was complete. He had done everything that he needed to do. He obeyed the law. He lived under the law. And he took on all that pain that we deserved. His work on earth was done. Eternal life and salvation is free to all who obey him. Yet we often forget that Christ is the only source of salvation. How often do we find ourselves looking for another source of happiness? Instead of relying on our Lord to take care of us, we think, if I work harder, I'll make more money. If I make more money, my life will be easier. If my life is easier, then I'll be happier. Instead of finding my joy in the identity that I have as a child of God, I think that if I take in all these temptations that this world has to offer, I'm bound to find something that will bring me great joy that I've never found before. We try to make ourselves believe this over and over again, but then we realize that this world is not the answer. Our Lord Jesus is the source, the only source of eternal life, peace, joy, and salvation. And this peace, joy, life, and salvation has been given to us freely because of what our Lord has done for us. Because of his determination to save us from our sins, we are now heirs of the everlasting life in heaven that he has prepared for us. We are now determined to live our lives for Christ out of thankfulness to him. The Holy Spirit has given you faith. The Holy Spirit has given you faith in Jesus, in everything that he has done for you. You believe in the Father's determination to save his children. You believe in the Son's determination to do the Father's will. And the Holy Spirit gives you strength to live your lives according to do according to God's will instead of your own will. Even when this life beats you down, even when the world mocks you, even whenever temptation calls your name, you have the strength to live according to God's will and not your own. You are able to live your lives for your Savior because your Savior died for you. You are able to do this because you know that the Savior has done everything for you. Keep your eyes fixed on that source of all joy, peace, and happiness, knowing that his goal was completed. Even though the things that we do to please our Father in heaven are far from perfect, we find joy that we know that our Savior has done everything perfectly for us. When the Father looks at us, he sees the face of his own Son, Jesus. He no longer sees those sins. He no longer sees our sinful selves. He sees the perfection of his one and only Son. Because of the Father's love for us, because of Christ's determination, we now live our lives determined to obey our Lord Jesus. Live your lives with joy, knowing that your Savior died for you, and he died and rose victoriously, completing his work here on earth to give you joy everlasting. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.